This is Tuesday, October 10th, 2017. Two podcasts will get their time in the spotlight at BlizzCon 2017. A new short-form Overwatch podcast starts with a bang, and I had a conversation with the Tauren and the Goblin, and somehow it didn't cost me anything. This is episode 244.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tauren and Goblins, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to the show. My name is Ro. Thank you as always for downloading. There is a lot that I have to talk about regarding the next few weeks of programming on this feed. I've got a giveaway to talk about, some other stuff too. I'll cover that near the end of the show. I can't wait to tell you about it. The pre-BlizzCon show, oh my gosh. But as the Goblins say, time is money, friends. So let's get underway by going around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. The micro-holiday known as the Great Gnomergon Run happens on Saturday. This holiday is based off the annual Running of the Gnomes charity event, which will also be taking place on the Scarlet Crusade server at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the same day. To learn more about the event, including how you can donate to help fight breast cancer, go to runningofthegnomes.tumblr.com. The Hearthstone Summer Championships also take place this weekend, and you can catch the action at twitch.tv/playhearthstone on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Finalists will be competing for their share of $250,000. That's a lot of loot, but don't feel left out. Once again, you'll be able to win free packs by choosing the right champion. This year's Halloween Terror event in Overwatch starts today and features new holiday skins for Zenyatta, Symmetra, Mei, and probably more. The Shanghai Dragons and Dallas Fuel are the first two official names revealed for the Overwatch League. Season 11 of Ladder Play in Diablo 3 comes to an end on October 20th, with Season 12 scheduled for November 9th. The schedule for BlizzCon 2017 is now available at BlizzCon.com. English rock band Muse will be headlining this year's closing ceremonies. And last but absolutely not least, you now have the ability to appear offline in Battle.net. Yes, friends, it only took 5 years from its announcement, but soon TM has finally arrived. Appear Offline is currently available in the beta version of the client, which anyone can opt into, and this beta client has a slew of new social features that I really don't have the time to list before Leroy says it's time to move on.
Time's up, let's do this!
But you know what, that's fine, Leroy. You can listen to me and Root from Hearthcast talk about the implications of all those new features on the next episode of the Rolling Restart podcast. You can find that on your podcast app of choice, or by going to rollingrestart.frozenfoxmedia.com on October 17th. And I have to say, that segue into podcast news was smooth like butter, and absolutely shameless. I digress. Let's continue with what is possibly some of the biggest podcast news that I have mentioned on this show. Two WoW podcasts will be broadcasting live from inside the Anaheim Convention Center as part of BlizzCon 2017. The instance will be featured on Saturday, November 4th at 11:15 a.m. Pacific Time. That will include Scott Johnson and Patrick Beja, along with Pat Crane from Convert to Raid. The other podcast being featured on Friday at 1:45 p.m. Pacific is Allcraft. Now, I know there's a lot of you who probably don't know what the Allcraft podcast is all about. Or at least you didn't until the schedule was revealed last week. Yeah, I've got some words to say about Allcraft at the end of the show, and I have some opinions. They might surprise you, but first, let's break down the facts about Allcraft. What is it? Well, it's a video cast hosted by Rich Campbell and popular content creators Asmongold and Hothead. The show is currently only available in video format. I've been told an audio version may become a reality in the near future. Meanwhile, you can follow the show on Twitter at AllCraftShow, and you can find the live stream along with on-demand videos at twitch.tv/hotted89. That's HOTTED89. The most recent episode of the show included Snoots as a guest and discussion on the Mythic Dungeon Invitational success, along with much more. The Twist and Nether blogcast welcomes the crew of Azeroth Coast to Coast on their latest offering. Find the show at TwistedNether.net and be sure to follow at TwistedNether on Twitter for further show updates. Now, if you've been paying attention to the Starting Zone, you may have noticed that Spencer and Jason have been including guests that are going to be in the Warcraft panel during this year's World of Podcast. Their last episode is no exception, as panel moderator and Frozen Nerds host Epic Insanity chats about some of the latest happenings in WoW. You can follow that show on Twitter at The Starting Zone or check out their site at thestartingzone.spazbotstudios.com. Yes, friends, you knew it was coming. It's a Lagging Balls guest appearance update. I'll try to keep it short and sweet. You can catch Thorn on episode 55 of the Battle.net News, which, as always, you can find at convertterray.com. Speaking of Thorn, if you want to hear a grown man cry, check out the latest episode of Lagging Balls. You'll be glad you did. The final round of voting is underway to see who joins Ben and John as a challenger during the BlizzCon prediction episode of Azeroth Roundtable. Now, not only do you get to vote this time, you also have the chance to submit a question to be included on that show. Just go to bit.ly/Murloc2017 to participate. That's Murloc with a capital M. And be sure to check out the latest episode of The Roundtable, which features none other than Instance host Scott Johnson. And speaking of Mr. Frogpants...
Fire in the hole!
That's right, Scott has started a new Overwatch podcast. I mean, really, let's face it, it was only a matter of time, right? Well, the show's called The Exploding Tire, a name I can really appreciate, being a big Junkrat fan, and I know he is one as well. And I think you'll find the format of this show is very different from other Overwatch podcasts. If you're looking for a weekly, bite-sized solo podcast that hits all the biggest talking points in Overwatch news and esports, this is pretty much a place to go for it. Episode 1 only clocks in at just over 15 minutes, making it easy for any of you to hear what it's all about. Find the show on your app of choice or go to frogpants.com/explodingtire, and you can also follow this new show on Twitter @explodingtire. One thing that can always take some time to get used to is learning a new map in Overwatch. I played my first couple of matches in Junkertown last week, and I got absolutely wrecked because, well, I simply didn't know the lay of the land, and as someone who's a Junkrat main, not knowing their way in Junkertown, feels bad, man. So, the guys at the Omnic Lab have released an episode that might help both you and I with getting more familiar in strange new maps like Junkertown, so be sure to download episode 72 of the Omnic Lab to get educated. This is one of my favorite Overwatch podcasts. You can keep track of it on Twitter @OmnicLab. The Payload Podcast released a short special interview episode with Sleepy, one part of San Francisco's Overwatch League team. Check out the Payload at overwatch.blizzpro.com and follow the show on Twitter @PayloadPodcast. Moving on to Hearthstone, outside of the upcoming Summer Championships, there really hasn't been a ton of news going on in that game, and that's not all that surprising. I mean, BlizzCon is a few weeks away. We know an expansion announcement is going to be made. That said, it's actually one of my favorite times to check out Hearthstone podcasts, because the shows that are being put out there are each tackling different topics, which means it's less likely that I'm going to feel like I'm listening to the same stuff over and over again. For example, the Golden Wisp invited professional player Noblord on the show to talk about how to improve the HCT system. Meanwhile, Steve Lubitz over at the Off Curve podcast spent some time talking about the rat race known as the climb on the ranked ladder. I'm all too familiar with that grind after having my best performance yet in ranked last month. And the Top Deck Kings podcast went in a different direction, with Cream Puff talking about the many different forms of tilt and how to recognize and combat tilt in Hearthstone. That is a show that I have not listened to yet, and I feel like I definitely could after some of the stuff that I ran into during my grind last month. Now folks, this really is just the tip of the iceberg. There is a lot of great Hearthstone podcasts out there recently. Be sure to check them out before BlizzCon and all the big announcements that everyone's going to be on board to talk about at the same time. Wrapping up Hearthstone talk, I know it feels like I've mentioned episode 100 of the Happy Hearthstone a few times, but hey, it finally happened! And it's a pretty great show too, featuring the return of original show host Josh Augustine and an interview with Hearthstone lead game producer Yang Wu. You can find the Happy Hearthstone in all the usual places, as well as GameDiplomat.com. Zexris from the Heroes of the Storm Power Hour paid a visit to the crew over at the Gankbush Squad podcast. Check out this show for tips and strategy to help you on the new Volskaya Foundry Battleground. Now, of course, when it comes to Heroes of the Storm podcast, I frequently mention that Heroes Forge is one of my favorites because it's less about news and more about creativity and fun, bringing to life potential additions to the Nexus. This month, Jeff and Kristen take the Forge in a very unique direction. See, Halloween is Kristen's favorite holiday, and I'm sure it's a favorite holiday for many of you as well. And this month, you'll get to see her and Jeff forge Nexus versions of popular monsters. Now, the last two episodes featured Dracula and Jaws. What's going to be forged next? I have no clue, but I can't wait to find out. Follow the show on Twitter @ForgeHeroes for further updates. And finally, no news is good news in a weird way when it comes to Diablo podcasts. You probably know by now that there won't be any Diablo announcements made at BlizzCon, supposedly. Oddly enough, this has prompted the three most popular Diablo podcasts to produce an episode and talk about what that means for the franchise going forward. So, be sure to check out new episodes of Cool Story Bro, Shattered Soulstone, and a Westmarch Workshop, all available right now. That's going to do it for podcast news this week. I'll be back with my interview of the Torn and the Goblin podcast after we find out what Ben and Eludra are up to on the next episode of Battle Pets.
Eludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage. Okay, Eludra, we really need to talk. You gave me so much work in editing this week.
Ben. Ben, we discussed this. No video, okay? Our time is our time.
No, it's not video. I mean, the things you said. Do you know how much I have to edit because you became Sailor Aludra?
Oh, okay. We don't have the rights from the Kodansha Corporation. Don't worry. Don't worry, I'm sure that Sailor Aludra falls under parody. I mean, they don't have an Azerothian scout in canon, and I've never seen a crossover. I can be me, Ben. Alright?
What? But, oh, God. Okay. While Aludra doesn't remember that we are a family-friendly show, make sure to check out Battle Pets episode 117, Sailor Aludra, where we visit
it's
a zone,
miniskirt.
Battle a boss, and talk about our BlizzCon plans.
Never staying for a FIFA. I am the one named Sailor Lou.
We have entirely different definitions for the use of the word sailor, don't we?
Oh, guys, look! It's Tuxedo Buzzkill!
Lore has always been important to the World of Warcraft, and especially so in Legion, an expansion which has brought specific elements and characters within that lore to a conflict of titanic proportions that spans worlds. Yes, I'm quite the punslinger today. It's no surprise that the past year has seen more podcasts focused on the lore of World of Warcraft than any other, and today's spotlighted show carries on that campaign. My guests this week are no strangers to Realm Maintenance. You may remember them from episode 175 back in January 2016 when we talked about a show called WoW Talk. They are the co-hosts of The Torn and the Goblin. The Torn is otherwise known as Nick Selenkevich, and the Goblin is Katie Grace. Welcome back, you two.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for having us back.
It's a pleasure to have you both back to talk about a different kind of show. Nick, if we can just take us back in time to August of 2016 and the genesis of The Torn and the Goblin, what is it that led you to create this spinoff of WoW Talk?
Well, actually, the genesis goes back well before August. It actually goes back to January, around that time, when we were last on the show.
Okay.
Because one of the things you focused on was the fact that WoW Talk, we had five people on the show at the time, and it was a fairly large cast. And it was one of those things where it was a combination of having a lot of people and also being a World of Warcraft podcast that, you know, there's a lot to talk about there as far as talking about like the news and playing the game and then also the lore. And I kind of realized that it would make sense to maybe, you know, branch off with Katie and sort of do two podcasts and let them focus on different things. And then it just took, unfortunately, until August for us to actually go ahead and actually start recording on a regular basis and talking about lore. I think the fact that Legion was coming out around that time gave us sort of an event to focus on and be like, okay, well, we'll launch alongside Legion. That makes a lot of sense because we could, you know, we could do all the lore leading into Legion, and then we could focus, do the first four episodes on the starting zones of Legion, which we totally did not do. I think it took us like 19 episodes to get through all that. So, it was basically just along those lines that, I realized that Katie and I had some good chemistry, that the two of us together could carry a show and go in that direction.
I definitely agree. I do agree with you that it feels like the timing of the launch of Legion lined up with this surge in WoW lore podcasting. Now, it's simmered down a little bit of late. There are a couple of shows that have pod faded over recent months, but there are still a few lore-focused World of Warcraft podcasts that are still going on. For Azeroth is pretty heavy on the lore. Of course, you have Lore Watch from Blizzard Watch folks. And then there's, of course, you guys. Katie, what is it about the lore of Warcraft in general that you find so compelling to devote an entire podcast to it?
Well, I'm actually a very long-time fan of Warcraft. I've been playing Warcraft almost since, I think it was like 5 or 6 the first time I laid hands on it, which was Warcraft 2. Yeah, and Warcraft has been a huge part of my life. As a kid, you know, I used to play with my family. Like, we'd get together for Thanksgiving dinners and we'd all cram into a tiny room and we'd play Warcraft. And so I've always been really drawn to the story and kind of the plight of the orcs, even from the get-go, just because it was so interesting and different from a lot of other stories at the time. You know, for once, at least, you know, Warcraft, you know, here's a major story where the orcs aren't the bad guys for once. You know, the orcs, the trolls, the goblins, things that are all classically villains in fantasy were suddenly, you know, it was kind of flipped around. In the first, you know, Warcraft game, they were villains, but in the second one, you kind of get to see, like, they were from a different world, and, you know, it got really complicated, and from a kid, I found that fascinating. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then, you know, Warcraft faded from the scene a little bit after Warcraft 3, which I also loved, and then World of Warcraft came out, and initially I wasn't a huge lore buff for World of Warcraft, but I actually found a book. It was a nice sun-bleached book, and it was The Well of Eternity by Richard Knack, and one day I picked it up and I was like, for kicks, I was like, oh, whatever, you know, Warcraft, I know what Warcraft is, and I cracked it open in the middle, and I read one paragraph, and I was so captured by that one paragraph, I read the entire book, and then from there it's been a slippery slope. So,
I would have to say a great majority of the Warcraft novels are really, really good reads between Richard Knack and, of course, Christy Golden, a couple other authors mixed in with all of that. But there are some really good books when it comes to Warcraft novels.
Certainly. Yeah, I have all of them, and I actually I own all of the Warcraft, like, RPG, the non-official canon ones, and as I said, it's a slippery slope where any, like, Warcraft lore, either, you know, approved or not, I have my hands on now. So,
do you own both volumes of Chronicle?
Yep. Yeah, I got those pre-ordered, and they came out, they were came to my house, like, day of, so yeah, I definitely love the lore, and it's a huge part of my life now, so it's wonderful. Would never change it.
That's awesome. I really think one of the important things when it comes to just finding a podcast and being engaged by the podcast as a listener is are your hosts passionate about the stuff they're talking about? And just hearing those words from you, it really gives me a good feeling that you're very passionate about the lore of Warcraft. Nick, of course, like I mentioned, there are other shows that talk about the lore, and of course, there are plenty of other just WoW podcasts out there. I don't know how much you've listened to those other shows necessarily, but I'm kind of curious, from your perspective, how do you feel the Torn and the Goblin possibly sets itself apart from those other lore podcasts and those that have come well before them?
Well, I think I don't like to say it's just a lore podcast. I like to say it's a lore and story podcast, and that while we do episodes where we get into the lore and we try to be encyclopedic and go over like the history of certain events and stuff like that. What we try to do also, I try to do is like talk about the story aspect of it, because especially the way in Legion where they've been releasing content, I think with the exception of 7.2, where they've had story content coming out almost on a weekly basis, it's almost made WoW feel like a TV show. Like, oh, you know, here's my hour long episode for the week. Let's go and watch that. And in that respect, I feel like a fan talking about my favorite TV show. Like, you know, what happened this week? What happened on this episode? What happened with these characters? What are they doing? I like to approach it that way.
And we haven't necessarily extra content gets dropped like audio dramas that make you have to do a half episode after your episode on Tyrellion.
That was just unfortunate timing, because we literally recorded an episode about Tyrellion and Ilaria the night before the audio drama dropped. So, I say that was unfortunate timing, but it gave us an excuse to talk about, talk about those two again for another hour. And so, I mean, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches, I guess you could say.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was actually great timing on your guys' part, because it's interesting kind of hearing you two delve about it before the audio drama dropped, and then having so much more to comment on after you got to hear all this stuff and all these characters and actually Tyrellion and Illyria's relationship to each other and a whole lot of interesting things. Folks, if you haven't listened to the Torn and the Goblin, the last few episodes of the show, I think are really good listening. I definitely say those are a great place to start for checking out this show. I want to ask each of you a couple questions to kind of gauge what your likes and dislikes are about the lore of World of Warcraft, and I want to talk favorites first. So, Katie, I want to know, and pop quiz time,
when
it comes to WoW lore, who is your favorite character, what is your favorite time period or event in the history of Warcraft, and what's your favorite locale or world, region, whatever?
Okay. I have to ask, we say World of Warcraft, like, is it the entire history of Warcraft or just specific to World of Warcraft?
You know, I would say use the entire history of Warcraft. If you want to go back to the time of the Black Empire that's covered by Chronicle and all that stuff, feel free.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, this is kind of like picking favorites, so this is going to be really tough because I'd say I have at least 5 favorite periods. But as for my favorite character is kind of tough because I have a lot of favorite characters. As the goblin of the show, I would have to say one of my favorite characters is Trade Prince Gallywix, although he is kind of in the background. I think of all the short stories, his was my favorite because it had such character and flavor, and it really kind of got, like, I got a glimpse of goblin society through his eyes. So he's always been a really fun and compelling character just because he's very different from everyone. But he's not really in the lore, like, he's not in the forefront. So as far as characters that might be more in the forefront of the lore, That's also really tough. I'm not sure that I have just one. I miss Thrall, but I also love Khadgar. So I'd have to say that Khadgar, as far as like the forefront characters in the lore, is my favorite. And then either Gallywix or Gazlo is just not as midline characters, I guess, are my favorite just because they're really interesting and dynamic and they're uniquely voiced. And I love that. As far as favorite story points in the lore, I think one of my favorite tales, just because it kind of feels like a high fantasy tale, is the classic tale of Prince Arthas, from his initial start as a prince to his epic downfall. And just kind of his entire tale is absolutely wonderful. I think that was one of the best storytelling pieces they'd ever done. Because it's classic, you know, you have this paragon of virtue, and then he falls into complete darkness, and there's no real redemption for him at the end. And
quite the opposite of the hero's journey, really.
It is, and it's, as I said, it is really kind of a classic piece we see in fantasy, but it was wrapped up in a way that it just fits so beautifully into Warcraft that it becomes part of the heartbeat. So I think that, or to be a little less classic, I also enjoy the plight of the Arakoa that was revealed to us in Draenor. That was really compelling to hear their struggle and kind of how their society evolved, and I really enjoyed that too. As far as my favorite spot, it would have to be Kazan. Like, hands down, Kazan or Frostfire Ridge, those are my two go-to places. So,
okay.
Unoriginal,
so
but...
So to follow up on those questions, I want to ask you really quick.
Sure.
How excited would you be about a WoW expansion that decides, you know what, we're not going to talk about the old gods yet. Let's go back to Bolvar Four Dragon and see how Lich King number 2 is doing.
I would actually be totally down for that because I've heard enough whisperings, and Nick has kind of mentioned it, that there's some bad blood between the Paladins and the Death Knights right now, and I just really want to explore that. Yeah, just a little bit. You know, we just came in your order hall and started killing people. I'm sure it's fine. You know, send them a fruit basket. They'll forget. But yeah, no, I'm down for any lore they give us. And I'm chomping at the bit for more as ever. So I'm excited for whatever new tales they will spin.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few people who... there's been all this talk about the old gods and void lords and all that stuff, but for me, I'm like, you know what? Legion almost felt like the true successor or sequel to the Burning Crusade. I feel like, let's have our Lich King sequel. Let's go back to Northrend, or at least for part of it. Let's see what Bolvar is up to, if it really is Bolvar, or if Ner'zhul's been there the whole time. I think it'd be an interesting thing to explore. Nick, let's go to you. Favorite character, favorite time period, and favorite location. What are yours?
Okay, favorite character. I think I'm gonna pick some bit of a surprise here. I'm gonna say Garrosh.
Oh,
I realized the other day I was thinking about him. I kind of miss him. Like, he was.
He's a good character.
I enjoyed him as a villain. His motives were fairly straightforward. I think as a character he was fairly straightforward. He was put into a position that he didn't really belong in, and he acted like you would expect him to act into that position. I mean, he wasn't surprising, and yet he still created all this conflict and drama, and he was vicious and violent. He beat up on Taron Ju in that one cinematic, and I miss him. I'm sorry that we don't have him to kick around anymore.
He wasn't your typical big bad when we think about villains in the story of Warcraft. I wouldn't necessarily say, in my opinion, that Garrosh was walking, you know, you talk about black, white, and shades of gray. I wouldn't say that Garrosh necessarily falls into that shades of gray kind of area, but his motivations weren't he wants to destroy the world, unlike the Lich King, the Deathwing, Sargeras, and all that stuff. In that aspect, he's fairly unique, so I can respect that.
Right, and also he's one of the few characters who, lore-wise, existed entirely within World of Warcraft, which I think it's impressive that they were able to introduce him and then go through his entire story arc all within the span of just the expansions, not even the base game. So he's interesting in that regard as well.
Absolutely. What about time period for you?
Time period, I'm going to say Mists. I think that I wasn't expecting to like Mists that much because it felt like, especially when you're going somewhere and had such a heavy, like, Asian theme, it felt like, oh, this really would work as like maybe a brief vacation or something. And we were there for 2 years, which is a very long vacation. But overall, I mean, that expansion, the story itself was fairly well done. I think my favorite part of the game ever is when you finish Krasarang Wilds and the Valley of the Four Winds, and you get that one cinematic when the Klaxi break through the wall.
Mm.
And everybody that you helped in those two zones just comes back to help you in that fight. That's the essence of Warcraft, is you have all these disparate people all coming together. And that's what we do every expansion, is we go around, we meet all these people in these different zones, we help them, and then they wind up helping us later. And it was like that moment, like, just purely distilled. And I don't know, I still get chills just thinking about that. That's like my favorite cinematic ever. So, I mean, so in a broader sense, Mists to Pandaria, but very specifically that finale to Valley of the Four Winds.
That's a very interesting answer. I think you're one of the first people I've ever heard bring up that specific moment. And I can't help but respect that answer. How about location? Would then Pandaria be your favorite locale, or is there somewhere else?
No, I'm going to go, I am the Tauren, I'm going to go Thunder Bluff. Maybe not Thunder Bluff necessarily, anywhere in Mulgore, like Bloodhoof Village or anywhere around there.
Those, is it just the feeling of the open plains, the large totems and all that?
I originally played in a little bit in Vanilla and a little bit in Burning Crusade, and then I left and I came back for the Cataclysm. And that was the first thing that I did when I came back, was I went right to Mulgore and just walking through the plains there, and I was like, this feels good to be back. So...
All right, awesome. You know, for me, I'd probably have to say my favorite character is a character that we haven't heard a whole lot about, and the funny thing is I'd have to play the Rogue questline to find out more about her, but Lillian Voss.
Oh, she's awesome.
So I want to know more about her, and I feel like I may eventually have to roll up a Rogue alt in Legion just to see what happens there. I was really hoping for the longest time that she was going to, through some matter of circumstance, end up replacing Sylvanas. Like, I don't necessarily want Sylvanas to be written out, but I think it would be interesting to see Lillian as the new leader of the Forsaken, some chain of events happening that way. Time period event-wise... A cliche answer, but man, it struck with me, the Wrathgate. That whole experience of the Wrathgate cinematic, the battle for Undercity when you could still partake in it during Wrath of the Lich King, that moment just has stuck with me for years and years. And there's a reason why it was mentioned in, I think, IGN's like top 100 moments in video game history recently. And location-wise... I really have to say the Warlock class hall is pretty cool, which is weird because it's like it's black and green and it looks like a lot of the Broken Shore and stuff like that. But seeing the Warlock class hall before everything on the Broken Shore and all the other stuff, just seeing how unique the Warlock class hall was for the first time, it was a very surreal experience and I thought was pretty cool. And I can relate because, I'm a Warlock and I like green fire. You want to fight me about it? Go ahead.
Now, I just like how in that class hall, they have all the demons there, but they're all friendly to you. Yes. And so you can just go and you can talk to some of them. Yep. And yeah. And then you have that giant beating heart up by the, where you deal with your artifact weapon. That's all pretty cool.
And some of the demons are your training dummies. So you can practice your DPS rotations on them and they just take it and they can't really do anything about it. it's very therapeutic, really. All right, well, getting a bit back to the show now, you guys have covered a number of topics in the year and a half plus that Torn and the Goblin's been going on. Nick, what are some of your favorite topics that you've covered on the show specifically?
Probably my favorite topic overall was when we did our episode on Winter Vale last year. And I didn't even realize this going into it, but I mean, our whole sort of... I don't want to say gimmick, but, you know, we're the Torn and the Goblin. I play a Torn, she plays a Goblin. Sure. And we approached Wintervale from the mindset of a Torn and a Goblin. And it never occurred to me, like, oh, the Goblins are very – those races are both very involved in Wintervale. You have the Goblins who have a very commercial aspect in how they handle it. And then you have the Torn who have a very – have a reverence for it. It's a holiday.
I'm pretty sure the Goblins invented Wintervale. Isn't that right, Katie?
Sort of. I was going to say, they definitely invented the commercial part of it. And that's kind of where Nick is coming from. Because, you know, there was, at least as far as I understand, there is a holiday, a pre-existing holiday for the Torin around that time. Because I think it's like a solstice or something like that, right, that the Torin have. And then the Goblins being, you know, commercially minded, were like, hey, we can make a buck off of this. So
basically it was one of those, like, you know, put the Christ back in Christmas kind of arguments, but it was actually like in character about the, you know, as me like saying like, no, this should be a spiritual holiday. And Katie was all just like, no, take the money. So
it's all about selling eggs on the auction house.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to lean to say, like, one of my favorite episodes was the Hollow's End one, just because I love Hollow's End and it's coming up. But I actually think most of, like, any of the podcasts we do are great because Nick is always coming up with new things to think about for me. And then, like, me bouncing how I feel or think about stuff off of him and chatting about the lore, because this is really the only place I get to do it, because it's the only place people will listen to me. So, I'd say just anytime Nick and I are chatting is probably the best for me, just because I love talking about lore. So
I'll pay awesome. You for that answer later.
That'll be $10.75.
Speaking of Nick coming up with new things, Nick, of course, we have a few weeks until BlizzCon happens. I imagine you guys are going to have one, maybe two more episodes before BlizzCon is out. And I would imagine once we get that big announcement of what's happening next in World of Warcraft, you two will have plenty of potential topics to talk about. But up until that point, do you have an idea of what the next topic two may be on the show?
We should have an interview with Dravi, who runs the Running of the Gnomes, coming up, where we're going to talk about gnome lore and look at that. And then after that, I think we'll probably just sort of do a BlizzCon episode. I think we're going to have Ali Saunder on as a guest and talk about probably some Forsaken stuff. I think we had some Forsaken stuff with her to go over and some other stuff leading into BlizzCon.
Nice. I think that for the Dravi episode, you three need to have a conversation about whether or not Nomragon will ever fully be saved and why it should be. Because while I don't play a gnome, even though I play Horde side and have been Horde for the longest time, I think it's an absolute crime that Nomragon is not an actual player city for gnomes.
Well, Nomragon and the Troll Isles. I can't think of them either. But both of those should really be fleshed out and made sort of full racial cities.
I'd say kind of, sort of, but I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do with those Troll Isles right now. Now, mind you, in this next expansion, especially if we end up going to like different islands and sea areas, and we go to Zandalar. Wouldn't it be great if trolls could just start off in a part of Zandalar? I think that'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
I actually think what they should do, being the goblin, a good jump in here, but if they resurrected Nomragon, they could easily create Undercity, or sorry, not Undercity, Undermine, which is the goblin, central goblin neutral trading hub. And I keep hoping that will come up because it's supposed to be legitimately one of the biggest trade hubs in the entire world.
Well, so, and also you have to think that the old gods are deep within Azeroth, and how would the old gods' influence work on the goblins in Undermine? Could there be right? is that why goblins are so corrupt and making shady deals? It's all been the old gods' influence all this time.
I feel like this podcast is very one-sided.
No. To be fair, I don't think the goblins aren't corrupt in an old god way. My
current main alt in Legion is a goblin shaman named Jiltsy Silverspark. So I'm very happy playing a goblin, even if she's my alt. So
that's a good name.
Yes,
that's good.
She's a resto shaman who the head cannon behind her is she casts healing spells, but if she brings someone back to life, she uses electricity to zap them back to life.
Her and Clanker would get along. They're both shamans. They could high five on the way into a raid. They're like, yep, nope, we're going to help all these poor schlubs keep it together.
There you go. Well, I think that's a good taste of a little bit of what the Tauren and the Goblin is about, and I definitely want people to check out this show. I'm, as someone who has appreciated lore for so long in World of Warcraft, it is such a wonderful thing to see all of these different podcasts taking on the story and the lore of World of Warcraft in different and unique ways, and I think you guys have your own spin on it as well, and I really appreciate it. Nick, can you let my listeners know the best way that they can get connected to your show and the easiest way to find you guys?
The best way to get connected, I would say, is we're at Tauren Goblin on Twitter. And the easiest way to find us is that we're on all major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, Podbean. And if you have any questions, I'd say mashthosebuttons.com. That's our home site. There's a bunch of great podcasts there. We're one of them. And, go there and you can get more information there.
All right. Once again, Nick, Katie, thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you again. Nick, I'll definitely be talking to you in person in the very near future. Katie, you're attending BlizzCon 2 as well, right?
Yep, I'm going to be there.
All right, well, I hope to see both of you at BlizzCon, and until then, have fun recording your podcast, and have fun and WoW.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Our Gussian appetites lead to transportation turmoil. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. In the centuries since the Draenei left Argus, the ravages of the Legion have forced all remaining life there to evolve quickly simply to survive. But sometimes the evolutionary path can produce some decidedly odd effects. One such detour revealed itself recently at the bases established by the crew of the Vindicar across Argus. To speed movement of people and supplies, they opted to use transporters instead of a network of flight paths. But soon after the platforms were installed, they began failing at high rates. The cause? A species of semi-sentient rodents that were somehow consuming the teleporter structures, drawing sustenance from the materials and energy contained within. In an effort to solve the problem, a specialist in small creatures was called in, the druid Myloon. After a one-to-many sit-down with a group of the creatures, she was finally able to establish communications. While we all hope that she will find a way to entice them to find something else to eat, her initial report is not encouraging. According to the Perky Centaur, the first phrase she was able to translate was, beacons. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
We're approaching the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that normally covers a Blizzard franchise and released an episode between October 2nd and 8th of 2017. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, Blizzard Umbrella, Blizzard Watch, A Blue Recluse, Battle.net News, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, Hearthcast, Lightning Balls, The Sundering, and The Weekly Blizz. Your World of Warcraft podcasts include the AIE Podcast, Allcraft, Azeroth Roundtable, Darkmoon Herald, Daughters of Azeroth, Frazzlecast, Goblin Goldcast, Lion's Pride Tavern, Lore Watch, Merely a Setback, Middlefear Podcast, Pwncast, Raiding Militia, Rolling Restart, Starting Zone, The Summoning Stone, The Torn and the Goblin, Technically PvP, The Worgen's Howl, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and WoWhead Weekly. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 60 or Dusty Angry Chicken, Around the Hearth, Brewmasters, Coin Conceived, Golden Wisp, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, The Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curb, The Salty Dog, Tier 5 Podcast, Top Deck Kings, Value Town, Velms Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Your Diablo Podcast, our Cool Story Bro, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarch Workshop. Heroes of a Storm Podcasts include Core, Gankwish Squad, Heroes Forge, Into the Nexus, Lords of a Storm, Nexus Trolls, and Trollin HGC. And finally, for Overwatch, we have The Cavalry, The Exploding Tire, High Noon, Junkertown FM, Omnic Lab, Overcast, Overplay, The Overview, Overwatch League Network, Payload Podcast, and Watchpoint. You can catch the weekly podcast roundup during this show and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. For links to all these shows and more of your favorite Blizzard franchise podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com.
The storm known as BlizzCon is almost upon us, and that means once again, it's time for podcasters, community personalities, and fans to come together for one of the largest gatherings created by fans for fans. It's Con Before the Storm, featuring the 5th annual World of Podcast. It's shaping up to be our largest World of Podcasts yet, with participants from over 50 podcasts and additional content being produced before and after the big party at the Anaheim Hilton on November 2nd. Even if you can't join us in Anaheim, we do invite you to check out the shows on Alpha Geek Radio or at twitch.tv/ConBeforeStorm. Can't listen to us live? We have you covered with podcast versions of our content available for download on demand via our World of Podcasts show feed on Google Music and Apple Podcasts. For complete information, show schedule, and much, much more, be sure to check out ConBeforeStorm.com, and also don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ConBeforeStorm and at World of Podcasts.
And with mostly all of the important business out of the way, it's time for some RNG. And this week, let's say that RNG stands for Resource Negating Grog. Not the kind of thing you'd want to drink before a game of StarCraft, to be sure. I mentioned earlier that the BlizzCon schedule got announced last week, and, you know, taking a look at the schedule, there are a lot of surprising things going on, in a good way. The virtual ticket is going to be an absolute must. There's over 60 hours of content happening. Now, I know I talk about once in a while about having clones. I don't think even an army of rogue clones could cover all of BlizzCon at the same time. It is freaking insane. One of the more surprising things to me has been the extra emphasis that is being placed on the community that envelops Blizzard Gaming. And of course, one of the biggest things that caught my eye was that The Instance, arguably the biggest Blizzard podcast out there, is going to be part of BlizzCon 2017. Looking at the description for that panel on the schedule, it said, "Join the hosts of the popular World of Warcraft podcast, The Instance, for a recording of a live episode discussing the hottest news straight from BlizzCon." There was, of course, the other podcast that's going to be featured at BlizzCon. And it's actually taking place on Friday, right after the What's Next panel for WoW, which everyone figures is going to be talking about the new expansion. And of course, that is the Allcraft podcast. And the description for Allcraft is, "The hosts of the popular World of Warcraft podcast, Allcraft, are joined by some special guests for a discussion of all things Warcraft live from BlizzCon." When I saw this, and I saw popular World of Warcraft podcast, the first thing that came to my mind was, wait, what? What the heck is Allcraft? How have I missed a popular WoW podcast? I mean, mind you, I have missed shows before for like weeks, even months. Does anyone remember the Worgen's Howl? How that show had been out for several months and I didn't even know about it. But how the heck did I miss one of two podcasts that are going to end up being featured at BlizzCon? This blew my mind away. I'm like, how have I not been covering this show? And the answer was that actually it's because Allcraft is video only. And this is something I talked about, I think, on the last episode about video podcasts and audio podcasts, and are video podcasts actually podcasts? Well, Blizzard seems to think so. That being said, I had put up a poll on Twitter saying, before the day that the schedule had been revealed, how many of you knew about Allcraft? 82% of that Twitter poll said they had no idea who Allcraft was. At least I felt a little better about myself because I felt like I wasn't alone. Now, of course, my first gut reaction upon seeing this was that I felt that Allcraft hadn't earned this spotlight at BlizzCon. I felt that there were so many other shows covering WoW for a long time. And I asked myself who would have been put there instead that would be better. Some shows that I feel could pull it off would be Convert to Raid, Battle.net News, of course. WoWhead Weekly has had a presence at BlizzCon before in some ways, and them doing a WoWhead Weekly from BlizzCon would feel appropriate. Or, you know, maybe go the whole World of Podcast style and do kind of like an all-star podcaster panel, bring together some of the most popular podcasters for WoW for different shows for just one big star-studded panel. Now, that was my gut reaction. I felt like Allcraft didn't earn it. After thinking about it for a while, I think I get it. So, the difference between Allcraft and The Instance is that each show covers a very different section of the community. When you think of The Instance, you think of one of the longest-running WoW podcasts out there. When it comes to Allcraft, that's not consumed via your ears, it's more taken in via your eyes when it comes to Twitch and watching the show there. The two audiences for Allcraft and The Instance, I feel, are actually very different. And audio podcasts are important and relevant. I will never say otherwise. But I will also be honest and fair when I say that when it comes to promoting your brand, promoting your game, whatever it is, video is king right now. It's all about metrics. More often than not, video metrics are far easier to gauge than podcast metrics. It is easy for me to go on YouTube and see how many times have people watched this video. It is easy for me to go onto Twitch and see how many people are watching the Mythic Dungeon Invitational. It's not so easy for anyone to go to a podcast app and see how many people have downloaded this podcast. And it can be especially obscure because you have multiple different podcast apps, you have multiple ways of listening to audio podcasts. So gathering the metrics and seeing just how big a show is isn't always the easiest thing to do. Trust me, I know. I've been trying to gauge audio podcast metrics for a while. There are a few ways to do it, but they aren't all as plain and simple to find out. So, yeah, Allcraft deserves a place in BlizzCon. You might end up becoming a regular viewer or listener of Allcraft. I'm going to give them a chance, and I wouldn't be surprised if I feature Allcraft on this show in the nearest future if they're interested. But let's also consider this, okay? Just the fact that both Allcraft and The Instance are part of BlizzCon is a huge step in recognizing content creators. I couldn't be happier for Scott, for Pat, for Patrick, regardless of how you might feel about Allcraft, and I encourage you to get hyped for The Instance episode that's happening at BlizzCon. Be proud of the fact that the Blizzard podcast, one of the biggest Blizzard podcasts out there, is going to be front and center. And when you're done with BlizzCon, send that feedback to Blizzard. Let them know how much you love seeing your favorite podcasts being featured as part of BlizzCon content. And that Sound Major update is complete. It's time to press the play button and start packing for BlizzCon. Yeah, I'm really that person. Illidan would be proud of me when it comes to packing for BlizzCon. Now, I did mention that BlizzCon is going to make things a little crazy here, a little different, and I wanted to take a minute to talk about that and hopefully get you a bit hyped as well. Now, the next show for Realm Maintenance is going to be on October 24th. It's probably going to be a shorter show than usual because I'm not planning on having an interview for that week. Mainly, I've got a lot happening in the days leading up to BlizzCon, both online, offline, etc., etc., and I'm doing a lot of planning for what's happening at BlizzCon as well, so there may not be time to get an interview on the October 24th episode. Don't panic, however, because you're not going to have to wait 2 weeks for another show after that, because October 31st, the week after, is actually going to be a special pre-BlizzCon episode. I always like releasing an episode a few days before BlizzCon to just promote the heck out of it, get the hype train rolling full steam ahead, and this show is going to be awesome, folks. Right now, it looks like I'm going to have 4 interviews on this show. The return of 3 past guests, including Pat Crane from CTR, Kaz from the Worgen's Howl to talk a lot about her cosplaying adventures and her project this year portraying Hogger, and Michelle Morrow, one of the hosts of the BlizzCon virtual ticket, also from the Hunting Party podcast, and the co-creator, you might say, with me of the term BlizzCouch. And finally, last but not least, for the first time on Realm Maintenance, one of the best YouTube couples in World of Warcraft. And no, I'm not talking about Josh Allen and Ian Hazzacostas, sorry Thist, but rather Taliesin and Evitel. They are an awesome couple, they put great video content out there, and this being a special episode, while I normally focus on just podcasts, I want to give video content creation a little bit of love too. So they're going to BlizzCon, everyone I'm talking to is going to be at BlizzCon, and I'm going to ask them some questions about what they're excited about, their role in the festivities, and everything that's going on. Of course, we're going to have World of Podcasts on the Thursday before BlizzCon. My plan is to include the podcasting panel on the Realm Maintenance feed, and there's going to be plenty of BlizzCon content too. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to have the opportunity to interview someone from one of the development teams at Blizzard. It would most likely be the WoW team if it happens. If that does happen, if I get a developer interview, you can bet that I will be uploading that during BlizzCon so you can put it in your ears as soon as possible. And of course, finally, November 7th will be the special post-BlizzCon episode, which, as always, tends to feature interviews from a variety of podcasters, Blizzard community personalities, as well as my review of everything that was announced in Anaheim. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of content on this feed, starting with a small show on the 24th, and getting much bigger from there each week through BlizzCon. I'm hyped, I'm excited, and I hope you are too. And hey, if that's not enough to get hyped about, well, how about we do a giveaway right now? Man, I miss that music. Alright, giveaway time. A few weeks back, you might remember that I said that Patreon proceeds would be going toward the purchase of a number of shadow pets for World of Warcraft. That's a companion pet, which is also raising funds for charity for the American Red Cross. And this is your first opportunity to get one of those shadow companion pets for WoW. All you have to do is tweet hashtag shadow please, and by that I mean shadow PLZ. So hashtag shadow PLZ on Twitter to @RealmPodcast. Make sure that you are following the show as well so that I can send you a direct message if you've won. I will choose a random person from people that use that hashtag to give that shadow companion pet to. You'll have until a day before the next show, so you'll have until October 23rd to enter. There are going to be other opportunities to win Shadow Companion Pets as well. I will be giving one away on an upcoming episode of the Rolling Restart, and you can imagine there'll be one or two more happening on Realm Podcast during all the BlizzCon hype that's going on. Once again, I want to thank people who did support the show by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. They are a big reason that this Shadow giveaway stuff is happening and why we raised a significant chunk of money for charity. And a big thank you to everyone who continues to show their support as well through the end of the year. If this is your first time listening, you can always find this podcast on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. I also encourage you to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @RoWow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Like I said, the next episode of Realm Maintenance arrives on October 24th. It might be a short show, but I'll still give you the latest podcast news. And don't forget, October 31st will be a special pre-BlizzCon episode featuring BlizzCon host Michelle Morrow, Pat Crane from Convert to Raid, cosplayer extraordinaire Kaz from The Worgen's Howl, and YouTubers Taliesin and Evitel. Until then, folks, I've been Ro. You've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2017, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by YouTuber ThizKits. Thanks again to Nick and Katie from The Torn and the Goblin for being on the show this week. Once again, you can find their podcast at mashthosebuttons.com. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter @FrozenFoxMedia. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.